Calling all detectives. Blackmail cases are common enough. But a blackmailer who apologizes is something new in the way of crime. That is the problem on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. Take the word of Jerry Browning, private detective. There may be nothing new under the sun, but there are many variations on the old. I put the letter back into the envelope, pushed it across my desk to my prospective client, Warner Ellis. Mr. Ellis, this is a standard blackmail letter. I advise against paying. I also advise going to the police.
I see. Mr. Browning, I haven't told you the complete story. You've read the letter. $20,000 demanded for the surrender of photographic negatives, which place me in a gambling house in the company of a lady very much my junior. Undoubtedly, these pictures would cause me grave embarrassment with certain boards of directors. Hurt both my income and my social standing.
I shrugged. All I can do, Mr. Ellis, is repeat my advice. Don't pay. Ellis smiled.
I'm afraid you don't understand, Mr. Browning. I don't have to pay. You see, 2 days after I received the demand for $20,000, I got another letter enclosing the negatives in question and apologizing for the previous demand of blackmail.
I ran into something new when a blackmailer of his own accord returned photographic negatives. Ellis tossed another letter across the desk at me. It was a brief note. I am very much ashamed of my previous letter. Please disregard it. Enclosed are the negatives in question. The letter was unsigned. I suppose there could be copy negatives, but that wouldn't make sense. Frankly, Mr. Ellis, I just don't get it.
Will you look into the matter? Discreetly, of course.
Yeah, I'll certainly look into it. After thinking it over, I did have some ideas. When an aging dandy runs with a young woman, sometimes she gets the idea of participating in a bit of blackmail. Miss Alicia Harmon was an expensive-looking blonde against the background of an even more expensive apartment. When I told her about the blackmail demand on Ellis, she looked bored. When I told her the sequel, she claimed I was kidding her and threw me out. I get thrown out of places quite often. Ricky Favors' Lenox Country Club was such a classy joint that they didn't frisk you for a gun on the way in. They used an electric eye.
Nix, pal. Nix, you rotted up to one. Beat it!
Slugging the doorman got me grabbed by three other mugs and hustled inside, which was where I wanted to be. They dragged me upstairs.
Let him go. The guy's a gent. Don't you hoes know a gent when you see one?
I sat down. Thanks, Ricky. I didn't know it showed. Ricky yawned.
It don't. But I figure nobody is sap enough to wrestle his way in without he's got a good reason. My time is money. Talk up.
Okay. I'm a private dip, Jerry Browning. I told him about Ellis, the blackmail pictures taken at the Lenox Country Club, and their subsequent return. Ricky bit his lip.
These days, pal, candid cameras no bigger than a matchbox sometimes. It's hard to keep them out.
I believe that. But if rich suckers are blackmailed because they come here, they might stay away after that. So you found out about the blackmail attempt and stopped it. Ricky got up.
Listen, I got my own troubles. The other guy looks after his. Who's Ellis to me and not a boob? To me, it's all the same if he lives or dies. And you know something else? You make me tired.
When I came to, I was propped up behind the wheel of my car. I can take a hint. I went back to my client, reported no progress.
I can understand Ricky being annoyed. On the night in question, I won $3,000.
Oh, now you tell me. Hey, what about this Alicia Harmon? Is she above blackmail?
Definitely not. But she knows I don't have $20,000, or anything remotely approaching that sum.
But your winnings, your board of directors job, social position.
My creditors got that. Really, I owe a great deal of money to all sorts of people. For the rest, My family name is good in this city. It enables me to live comfortably. But everybody knows I have no money whatever.
Oh, that's fine. That's just dandy. I went back to my office and brooded. Did the blackmailer return the pictures because he realized Ellis couldn't pay any substantial amount? And why did Rookie terminate our interview by slugging me? Well, obviously I was too deep in the case to withdraw just because I could expect no fee. And my head hurt. I owed somebody something for that. So I sat there and worried the thing over in my mind. After a while, I got another idea.
Oh, Mr. Browning, back again.
Yeah. What are those photographic negatives?
Why, I destroyed them.
No, you didn't. You're too vain and too curious for that. You've got them someplace. Get them up and make it snappy. Ellis examined my face.
Very well. I did save them.
Okay. Now let's go to police headquarters, to the crime lab.
The prints are in the developer bath. Hey, here comes the image.
It just looks like Ellis and the Harmon girl at a roulette table.
Gotta put them in the hypo now. I don't think we've got anything here, Jerry.
Oh, wait. I want a fractional enlargement. The faces of the other people around the table. Can you pull the negative up to 20 diameters?
I sure can try.
We made another enlargement of the background faces, and then... Look! That's Bim Traynor. He's wanted for bank robbery. They raided the Lenox Country Club and found Bim Traynor hiding out there. That's old stuff, too. Every crook with money enough can cool off at a gambling house as long as he keeps gambling and his money lasts. No wonder Ricky was agitated at the possibility that Bim's face might be in one of those blackmail pictures. The girl was running the blackmail racket, but when they developed the pictures and she recognized Bim Traynor... Well, it was just too bad the Traynor, among other crimes, had once also jilted Miss Harmon. So she sent the negatives to Ellis, knew that his curiosity would take care of the rest, somehow. Like I said, you may think a case is the same old story, but like in pretzels, it's the twist that counts.